This is episode number 49 with Chase Walter, Director of Recruiting at GG Locators. We really jump into how you can stand out in the job market, especially when it comes to esports, gaming, and XR industries. And one of the interesting points is when Chase brings up resumes. And we talk about how resumes are a good conversation starter. It's a good way for companies to initially find you when they go through their processes. But we get into how content can help you stand out, and how a content library is pretty scarce in the markets. And if you're able to do that, put yourself out there, whether it's blog or video form or all the different social platforms, having that presence is really important. And you know, recruiters or hiring managers actually feel like they know you before they even interview you. So we go over a number of tangible things that you as an individual can do to help land your dream opportunity, some of the best practices when working with a recruiter, and some of the significant changes the marketplace has seen over 2020. I just want to thank GG Locators team for coming on as a sponsor a couple of months ago. It's really meant a lot to me and the support they've given to the podcast. I met Chase and Nicole Minka earlier in the summer and loved what they were doing. My goal is to really help people find opportunities, especially within the esports gaming space. And I just feel like GG Locators provides that bridge and an opportunity to give to individuals, but also to companies to help connect them with talent as well. Appreciate every single 5-star rating and review. If you guys have done that, thank you very much. If you haven't, go on mobile, scroll down on the episode page, fill in those 5 stars. If you can leave a review, that would be great. It helps get the content out on the platform. If you'd like to get in touch with me about the podcast, a collaboration, or any other inquiry, feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn. I'm Chris Reed, C-R-I-S-R-E-E-D. Or you can reach out on Twitter at TheLevelUpEXP. That's at TheLevelUpEXP. Before we jump into the podcast, Chase is going to share an opportunity. Thanks for listening and hope you enjoy.
My team and I are partnered with 5+ game studios across 4 separate markets. Those markets being Austin, Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Seattle. We have 10+ game design positions with a majority of those roles sitting at the senior level. Now, game design in general can be very specialized, so want to talk to you guys about what we're really looking for. Current needs are anything from a senior technical designer, a senior system designer with combat systems focus and multiplayer interactions, level design, encounter design, as well as lead combat design. Now, these studios are in particular looking for somebody to sit on site, but we do offer remote capability on a case-by-case basis. If you yourself or someone in your network would like more information about these roles and about the relocation and the remote capability, please feel free to reach out to cwalter@gglocators.com or send your resume to info@gglocators.com.
All right. So let's give some context a little bit for those that may not know who you are. Tell a little bit about yourself, maybe a couple minutes and what you're doing over at GG Locators.
For sure. So I'm Chase Walter, Director of Recruiting for GG Locators. We are a specialized firm in the gaming, esports, and corporate gamification space. I myself am from Northern Virginia, a small town in Centerville, outside DC. I went to James Madison University, studied sports recruitment management, minored in business, and played football for about a year. When I was there, I was heavy in traditional sports, found a passion for video games, esports, when I was real, real young. I just loved what I was doing within, you know, playing video games and having that, you know, Mario Kart, Super Smash Bros. Type feel, and just interactions with video games and esports. So, fast forward about 2 years, moved down to Charlotte, North Carolina, worked for FinTech in staffing and search firm. So found a firm down here called GG Locators within Charlotte, actually built an authentic relationship, which we're going to talk about today, with the managing director over there, Nicole Minka. And then from there on, for the past year, I've been working for GG Locators. We've had the opportunity to support a lot of different key projects within gaming and esports and a lot of VR and AR startups. And since then, been following you, been following your podcast, love the content. I'm excited to be on here talking about what we do and how we kind of build our relationships as a candidate recruiter and a client salesperson. So, yeah, man, that's kind of my backstory. That's why I'm here. It's what I'm passionate about and looking forward to continuing the conversation.
Yeah, no, appreciate it, man. Thanks for sharing that. So, yeah, we're diving into, you know, how to build online connections, grow a network from like a quality versus quality, you know, quantity perspective, the relationship between like candidates, recruiters. And I would tell you, I have not been through that process myself as like a candidate. So, you know, obviously I'd love to dive into this because, you know, I would be able to eloquently explain that because I haven't been through it. So, because I know it's an important process for a lot of people that potentially are going through that right now. So I do want to start though with, and we talked off air like about this a lot too, when it comes to building those relationships, because I do think that like that's that first step. So kind of break down a couple things when it comes to building relationships, especially kind of in this digital space, to where you have those, that setup, where you have those opportunities.
Yeah, for sure. So as a candidate, you know, in the market right now, and I know that with COVID and everything that's gone on in the world, there's a lot of people that are furloughed, let go. So, building a relationship with somebody online virtually, there's always a why behind it, and understanding the why from why you're engaging with that person. Is it a skill that you're offering them? Is there a skill that they have that they can teach you? Is there market intelligence that I can offer this person? Is there a job opening that I can offer this person? Is there available candidates that are in the market right now that I can offer to a studio? Just any type of value add to them and how I can help them progress their career, whether it be within esports, whether it be within gaming, or within another industry space that I, you know, might have a friend or a colleague or a peer in. So thinking about that, you know, it's mainly trying to how I can add value to somebody. At the end of the day, like, are they in my space? And I know whenever I talk to people that are in esports and, you know, mentioning yourself, you know, do you know Chris Reed? Have you seen him? Typically they're like, yes, I've seen his, you know, face, I've seen his podcast. I've have seen some type of content published by him, or produced by him. So that's kind of how we got connected, was, you know, having your name pop through my social channels, always seeing your content on LinkedIn. And at the end of the day, you know, that's why we connected. So, you know, there's a couple of different reasons why you're going to be connected to somebody. And I think those, you know, maybe a skill value add to them, or them adding something back to you is huge. And that's what we see kind of in this space. And as a candidate, you know, reaching out to a recruiter and letting them know that you're open and looking for opportunities, and then providing them that detail as to why, you know, what the end goal is for your career. It might not be a quick play. It might be a slow burn and a long play for 5 years down the line. But making that connection and building that relationship up front is huge. And being transparent, being honest, and building trust, quote unquote, trust is huge. So yeah, man, that's kind of, and if you haven't been in that space or haven't been in that area as a candidate, congratulations, because a lot of people are. But yeah, if you haven't had the need to work with a recruiter or haven't had the need to work with a firm, it's definitely something that you know, can look into.
Yeah, and everyone has different needs, right? Yeah. We're all in different situations right now, obviously. It's very dynamic. You know, another word that comes up is like intentionality. Going back to a little bit about like building those relationships online, you know, what is your intention? And we'll talk about content a little bit too, but like, what are you trying to do? Right. Mm-hmm. And you have to like, I mean, even like writing it down, like, what is my intention? Because I do think having that focus is important. And then people will understand, they will feel your intention. Like some people may think that, yes, you know, being with someone in person and being online is different, it's a different dynamic. But you can build relationships online. Like it is very possible. It's a very quick story, but I don't know if you guys know, I won't actually call it the networking group maybe, but I won't actually say the networking group name, but it's an entity that's been around a very long time, but they're about getting together in person, and it's not about, it was very, very much against like online stuff, things like that. And I actually brought up, and I did a presentation, this was 7 years ago, about LinkedIn and about like how every one of us in this professional setting should have a LinkedIn and we should be connected online. And I got a lot of pushback 7 years ago, where it's like, no, it's about this group. You probably want to, you know, try to develop those relationships because you have this ability to connect with people. Otherwise you wouldn't. And yeah. I got a lot of pushback. This was 7 years ago. Opened or made a LinkedIn account back then. Cause you never did it like that. Because like, oh, I have a job, I have a place, you know? So anyway, it was really kind of an interesting story, and then how that's changed to where we are now, where we're obviously in a situation where, you know, your online presence is that obviously that much more important. But let me also say, like, it's always been important.
Yeah,
and you can build trust and relationships online. But the word intentionality comes to mind.
Yeah, and I think it's the key is what your intention is, what your end intention is, and where you're, you know, starting off, you know, being someone that's selling a service to somebody or selling a service to a studio, it might not always make sense for them, you know, it might not always be the best process for them. That's okay. You know, we offer different packages for that reason. We have different options for that reason. Depending on the studio size, depending on their timeline, depending on what they really want from a search partner, that's what we can provide. And I think that goes back to not even just the client side, but more as the candidate side is, if the candidate's looking for something in the next 5 years, or if their intentions are to build a relationship with a recruiter to help them out, whether it be themselves or their, you know, future company, if they're an entrepreneurial and they want to, you know, start their own game studio, just building those relationships and having the intention of, you know, not right now, but at that time, I'm thinking down the line, and that's what my thought is. And that's what my future end goal is, you know, working with this person, you know, hitting connect with that person, sending them a note, and building that trust and build that relationship before we even have that, you know, asking portion. I know it's a lot of giving, a lot of, you know, before you ask, but building that trust in the near future will help you be successful in the later future. So, but yeah, that intentionality is definitely a key word that I think people hear a lot of.
We talked about like this idea of both sides of this, like the quality, not quantity. Can you talk about that a little bit? Because I know you had some thoughts.
Yeah, for sure. So quality network versus quantity network. I know that we all out there, I mean, especially the younger generations think these high numbers on all their social channels, these likes, these comments, means that they're popular. It means they have a great message. It means they're doing, you know, they're providing positive content. That's not always the case. So quality network is, you know, maybe you have five people that you trust, that you really trust, that you can kind of turn around and say, here's what I need you to do for me. This is my business. This is what I need. You can kind of give them all the ins and outs of what you're doing, and know that they're going to kind of be there for you. That's just five people, rather than having 100 people that like your stuff or just comment or just shoot some stuff over to you. And it's not really like a built relationship where you don't really know if you trust them fully. Mm-hmm. And that's quantity. You know, people can connect with people. People can share, you know, I go back to resumes, which is what I do daily, but sending 1,000 resumes to one spot and expecting them, you know, to find you being, you know, that your process is built on success. It doesn't work that way. You need to have three people that you're like, these are the exact people that are perfect for X, Y, Z, and provide that to the client. But it goes back to us as recruiters is building a quality network and letting our network know, this is how our process works. This is what we do. This is how transparent we are during the client process, during the interview process, during the application process. And I'll let you know, positive or negative. I'll let you know why, you know, things didn't work out. I'll let you know why things did work out. You know, we'll celebrate, you know, we'll think about the next steps of the process. But at the end of the day, I think building a quality relationship, it's kind of how you drive your business. It's having this close relationship, whether it be virtually or whether it be in person, having a million people follow you. It might not always be the million people that have the like same like-mindedness in this space. So it's like, you know, having a million people that are in esports, that's great. But if you have three people that are in esports and then three people that are in gaming and three people that are in, you know, a corporate company where they're in fintech and they use gaming, that's how you're going to build your business. If they're quality relationships, they're built on trust. At the end of the day, people are going to work with people that they do trust. And I think that we've seen that a lot within COVID. I think the last, you know, 7 months, we've seen businesses only are going back to those repeat customers or those, you know, repeat vendors that are offering things that they've done business for 5-10 years, not just the new ones that are popping up saying, hey, I've got a great rate for you here. You know, the chips are down right now. Times are tough. You know, it's tough to be in the economy right now. So people are going to work with those individuals they already know are going to deliver, and they're already know that they're going to be open and fair in their process and in what they're actually adding value to it, whether it be a service or a good.
Yeah. Speaking of value, Jeff's in chat. Jeff says value is a key factor. Time is valuable. And if you don't add value to your connections, then you can't expect them to add value to yours.
100%.
Yeah. I haven't really coined a term, I guess, but like there's like this value quotient to the point of like, say someone takes a minute to watch one of your videos, like how much, so they've put in that minute of their time. And we know time is a currency that we can't give back. It's the one thing, right? So you can't get that minute back. What was like the value add between that 1 minute? What were they able to get out of that? Versus I'm going to plaster something all over the place and hope someone clicks a sales funnel to go through the process to get someone's email. That's two way different things. And once you get away, and I get some interesting feedback from people like, you know, conversions matter, things like that. Yes, you know, when you're doing an ad campaign and things like that, of course they do. I'm not saying conversions don't matter. And sometimes it is a numbers game on like a paid ad campaign and all that good stuff. But when it comes to organic and you're building relationships, right, through your content, you can't be focused on just the numbers or the conversions. Like relationships can't put a number next to a relationship, right?
Exactly.
So, you know what I'm saying? So that's just like a thought I had.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think that speaks volumes to, I think, the level of the relationship. So, I mean, I'm talking to people that are at the C-suite. I'm talking to directors, VPs. I'm talking to people that are entry level. I'm talking to collegiate students that want to break into gaming. And I treat every single person as the same. It's all about how I can add value to them and how I can be the best resource to them either now or down the line in the future. And that's my first question I ask to pretty much all my candidates that I talk to. It doesn't matter what position they're in, doesn't matter if they're 10 years in, 15 years in, or 0 years in, and they want to kind of break into that and want to know more. At least I can offer some market intelligence. I can offer, an internship somewhere they can go get schooling somewhere, or go work on this course there, or, offer some type of insight as to how to break in. Obviously, when you're talking to someone that has 20 years of experience in the space, they don't need to know that. It's a completely different conversation, but it still goes back to how can I be the best resource to you either now or down the line in the future? And listening, listening, not talking, not just, pouring all the information onto them, but just letting them know, like, how can I be the best resource to you? And then letting them just divulge what they need from you.
Right. Yeah. Jacqueline says quality network is clutch, and having those close key people is what helps my own success and theirs. Carrie jumps in. Relationships are important. Whenever possible, add value before you ask. Yeah, Carrie, one little thing too, and I think this all ties together. It's great conversations, you guys. Like a 90-10 split. Because a lot of people are asking, it's like, well, what should I be posting? Like, how do I build a relationship online? How do I get people to know who I am and things like that? If you're giving 90% of the time, and then for 10%, maybe you're asking something, that's a pretty good split. I'm not like, that's not a hard and fast number, right? But it's just something to think about. So yeah. if you're asking 80%, a lot of times it's flipped. Is that noticed? Like some people may use LinkedIn and flip it around and are asking all the time, putting a link here to get to this website, to do this and do that, right? If you're doing that 90% of the time, do people really, you're only doing 10% of giving, right? So then how are you going to build relationships when you're on the other side of 90%? So that's something to definitely keep in mind. Because that's what's going to help build that foundation over the long term. And the other side of it too, these are really good comments. The other side of it too is it does take time. And as we know, everything is very quick, things like that. But the more value you're putting out there, especially within that 80-20, 90-10 split of focusing on your audience and who you're talking to versus, well, here's what I want to get out of it for yourself. I think that's an important dynamic to understand. Mm-hmm. Tyler said hard to quantify quality relationships. Yeah, it's good.
Definitely. Yeah, there's no number really. It's not really a number to you. It's more so just a relationship that you've built and something that you're gonna kind of rely on, I think, and you can fall back on at any given moment, whether it be you're very successful or the chips are down, you guys are and you're struggling within your business or within your professional career. Doesn't matter kind of where you are, if you have something that you trust and you have a qualified relationship. Then you can kind of fall back on it. It's like, it's what we think about when you think about family and your immediate family and your close knit group with your friends growing up, those local guys that you really call brothers. Those are guys you can kind of fall back on. And there's the group of people that you meet, throughout your life. And there's, friends of friends and connections and mutual groups and inner circles. They're great to have, but are they really those qualified relationships that you can really fall back on? And there's people that you really trust. And trust is, I know, is a huge word. We can bold and italicize it, but trust is something that it's earned. It's not given.
Yeah, Jeff, love it. 7 years in the making. Great things take time. Yeah, 100%.
100%.
Yeah, shifting a little bit. So let's talk about like the relationship dynamic when it comes to candidates and recruiters, especially as I mentioned earlier. Like I have actually personally haven't been through that process, and maybe some listeners haven't been through that process as well. Like how does that even look? Like where do you start? Because like for me, looking at it like in a nutshell, it's like where do I start, and like how does that even look like going through it?
Of course, yeah, and that's kind of where we offer insight to everyone in the industry, whether it be their first time, starting or looking for a job, starting to look for a job. They might be with a company for 10, 15, 20 years. And now that, they're looking for change or their company folded, something happened. And partnering with a recruiter can happen in a couple different ways, a couple different options here. When looking for a new job and partnering with myself, I can be offering any market intelligence, compensation structure, different markets out there. What's going on? I mean, within gaming, there's a few markets that really stand out and everyone kind of knows what those are. But there's other smaller markets that are kind of scattered throughout the United States that people don't know about. And that's where we are just staying up to date and we're staying on the latest trends and we're watching the studios, where they're popping up, where they're growing, where they're allowing people to sit remotely because of COVID and hopefully through on the rest of their career. But when you're partnering with a recruiter, you can let them know kind of your end goal. Let them know your intentions. Let them know, hey, Chase, this is what's going on. And, hey, recruiter, this is what's going on. I'm, 20 years in the industry. I'm a VP of production and I'm starting to look for a job and I've done X, Y, Z. This is my resume. This is what's going on. It's my cover letter. That's great. And at the end of the day, the recruiter's going to ask you, what's your real end goal? What are you really trying to accomplish here? Are you trying to find a new job with a company that's similar to you? Or are you trying to find something new within a different industry space? Are you trying to just, you know, find a new job so that you can retire at the end of the day? What are your real intentions? If you're in the middle of a search and you're really just struggling, you're striking out, you can't really get in the app, you know, you don't really get any interviews, you're not really getting any calls back. That's where you might want to, you know, reach out to a recruiter and ask, what are you seeing in the market? Are people hiring right now? Is hiring frozen? Is every game studio pushing out their current titles and they're just, you know, holding off on publishing something? Are they just pushing off their next project and, you know, their hands are tied right now? Or is my resume just missing? And you might need a resume prep course. If you've never found yourself as a candidate in the market, you might not have the best resume because you don't know if it's going to gain traction or not. And there's, you know, two different ways to kind of attack, you know, a job search and actually partner with a recruiter. Another one is when you find yourself in an offer phase and you are negotiating an offer with a client or, you know, with a future company, and you don't know if it's an attractive offer or not. Maybe to you it is, yeah, because the compensation looks great, but, you know, the opportunity to grow vertically, the opportunity to work on a project that you're passionate about might not be there. Obviously, a lot of things come down to benefits, perks, you know, profit sharing, you know, equity in the company. Those are great. Those are all added flavor. I think at the end of the day, it really matches up to the three P's. And I use this a lot of my candidates I talk to. How do you weigh in on the three P's? And those are the project, the people, and the pay. And how do you stack rank those? And when you're someone like yourself, Chris, that hasn't found yourself in the job search, you know, if I asked you that right now, you'd have a completely different idea of what that means to you, because you're like, I don't really know. I, you know, you have to sit there and think about it for a little bit, you know, project.
Well, yeah, not to interrupt you, like, but like market dynamics, like how in the world would someone know the market dynamics for that particular position, or, well, not just one position, but maybe multiple positions, because you don't even know what to key in on. So you've got multiple positions with multiple market dynamics, and then you get an offer and then you have nothing to compare to. Like you said, I think that's a good point.
Yeah. And just going through like the interview process, man, it comes down to people that had an interview for 10 years, the interview process has changed. The questions have changed. The dynamic has changed. It's a little bit different than when they found themselves first interviewing out of college back in, you know, in 1990 or something, or, you know, 2005, when they just graduated. They're like, well, now it's been 15 years and they're interviewing for the second time in 20 years. It's different.
Sorry, not to interrupt. What's the biggest change that, like, you've seen?
So I think it comes down to the questions that are asked in the interview process, and people based on, they used to be generic set of questions, like the quote unquote, tell me about yourself. You know, who are you? You know, what are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? Those are great questions, and they still come up in interviews now. But I think more so in this day and age, people want to know about what you're doing that is comparable to what they're doing. You know, what have you done in the past? What have your actions been? What are your achievements? We use it at GG Locators. It's something that we've kind of developed and that Nicole Mink kind of honed in on is made, saved, and achieved. It's something that they talk about a lot. It's something that we kind of stress.
I'm sorry. What was that again?
So it's made, saved, and achieved. So thinking about what I made, you know, what I've achieved and what I've saved at a studio or on a project. Being able to kind of deliver to them your achievements up front, and letting them know that, you know, this is why I'm a great fit for the job, instead of them just asking you those typical, hey, Chris, you know, who are you? What do you do? You know, what was your GPA? You know, those are great old school questions. I think the newer questions are really driving and derivative on your culture, based on the environment at the company, based on the project they're working on. And it really comes down to staying on top of those trends. So, And every studio is different, and every hiring manager is different. Everyone that's interviewing is different. It's all, you know, personality. It's all, you know, feeling that out. But I think the biggest factor that's changed is when people find themselves interviewing 10 years after the last interview, and they just don't know because they're not up to date with it. And that's where partnering with a recruiter can allow you an opportunity to, you know, get on an interview prep, kind of run through a mock interview 3 or 4 times. And then all of a sudden you get to that interview, the final round with the CEO, and you nail it because you kind of already thought about those questions, already read through them, already talked about them, discussed them, and came up with solutions before going on that call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, practicing the situation before it even happens. The one thing, so one thing comes to mind is, we've said that, actually we've said this before, it's been a few streams ago, but I think it was during like one of the career fests, but like content doesn't replace a resume, but it can amplify reach. So you can find people can find you that otherwise wouldn't have if you make content. Yeah. Right.
But it doesn't, I've been on the, maybe on the extreme side sometimes. I think one time I did say like, it's more important, like content's more important. I think you can argue content can be more important than a resume. I'm not saying resumes are dead and things like that. I think they're important, right? But content can go with it. Like how have you seen it? I mean, obviously for an artist, they're going to have a portfolio and things like that. And developer has their portfolio and whatnot, what they've done. But like, how have you seen like content play a role, like even just like the last couple of years? Because and maybe I'm not even looking at it right, but I don't think like the content that you've made, people were looking for it or was that much, the availability of making content was there like 5 or 6 years ago. So obviously it's changed a lot just a couple of years.
Yeah, I think it's definitely, 5 or 6 years ago, it's definitely changed. It's been, you're able to make it, and it's easier, I think, to make it. I think it's still difficult to get that outreach and to have that reach to different sectors of gaming, esports. But when you're thinking about content within what we do, within the esports realm, someone might not have a resume that's super built on their, quantifiable objectives that they've accomplished in their career. But it's more so about the content they've developed in, I've played this game, I've worked with this team, I've developed content, I'm a content creator for whatever platform I might be at. There's a million platforms out there you can develop content on. But showing that you're interested, that you're passionate, and that you're willing to do it for no money. At the end of the day, it's not like everyone's making content, it's getting paid for it, but it's showing that you're super passionate about what you're doing. The people that start off as Twitch streamers and then they make it big, when they first started, they weren't thinking about making it big. When they first started, they were thinking about, this is my passion, this is what I enjoy doing. And I think that rings true today within gaming as well. You find game developers, designers, artists. I know you said, artists have portfolios. Designers, designers have their games they designed, when they were going through college and they're going through their courses. And that might be the only thing that they can share. And that's the only piece of quote unquote content. But what about all the stuff they were doing, the tabletop games they were designing? Stuff they're sketching down on their book all day, all night, the things that they were just really passionate about in exploring. They don't really show that to hiring managers. They don't really show that to recruiters. I usually ask for that. What are the things you're doing outside of just strictly, scripting in this language and coding there and working this game engine? What else do you enjoy that's focused on gaming? And then people just, they can talk forever and they're really passionate about it. And then that really shows why they want the job. That shows why they're interested in that studio, interested in that project. And that's still content to me. That's still content. It might not be something they're sharing on LinkedIn or on a Twitch or, on anything out there, but it's more so, this is the content I'm designing, whether it be, like I said, a game or GitHub or something like that.
Yeah. The process of making that end product, people are real, obviously people love watching those time lapses. Oh my gosh, they love that stuff, right?
They eat it up. They love it.
Great point. That's a really good point. Like, actually, do a video of. I'm farthest thing from an artist, but if I was to draw something up, right, and then have my camera angle to where it went through that whole time lapse. That's something that took me 12 hours. You can see it in 30 seconds. That's always a great piece or great watch, So, but it's showing the process for the end result. Like the end results might all be on your resume, but it doesn't really tell the story. So having the content that goes alongside of your resume, to me, and this is just me. I'm not a recruiter, but it helps you stand out.
Oh, 100%.
Like for me, I'm just looking at it from a tangible standpoint. And a lot of different things, whether it's in the investing world or you're trying to get a job, things like that, it comes down to scarcity. That's really the word you got to think about, right? Yeah. So think about it like this, if 99% of people are doing things one way, but you're the 1% that has a content portfolio, like actually has a YouTube channel that has VODs or has vlogs of you going through the process of the end product you've created, right? Then they can, to me, it's just like people can connect to the human that you are, not just to the piece of paper you gave them as a resume. And again, that's just because of my mind. But obviously you have to get the conversation with them. You have to get in the room. You have to get on the Zoom call, whatever, but they can still have more of a connection with you once those conversations happen. So.
And I think that you kind of go back there a little bit is, obviously getting in the room is that resume. Getting your foot in the door is that resume. It's that piece of paper showing that what you did in college, showing what you did at your first studio, showing what you did at your first job. But then selling, getting that, beating out the next person next to you, beating out the next candidate, beating out your peer, it really comes down to a personal side, not professional. I mean, there's professional settings and personal settings. In a professional setting, I'm doing XYZ, and I'm a game developer, I'm a game artist, game designer. But on personal side, I'm also doing that. I'm also developing content as a designer, as an artist, as an engineer. So kind of, it's not, you know, obviously there's a work-life balance there. You're not doing it all day, every night, all the time. But when you do have a free portion of your day, you're still going back to that thing that is your professional skill. And I think that just when you're going through the interview process, you have the resume to get your foot in the door. But then when you're really selling yourself and letting them know that this is why I'm the best fit for this job, it goes back to your personal skills, personal passions, and things that you've done as side projects or personal projects throughout the span of your career. And that's what ends up, I think, getting you that offer letter and getting you that final call.
Right. You mentioned passion. We talked about putting content out there. Like, people can, it's really interesting. I really feel this, like, just for me, I mean, listening, I can't tell you how many hours I've listened to podcasts and vlogs on YouTube and Twitch streams and everything else. But man, you can really feel the person on the other side. Mm-hmm. I've had people tell me, like, even just the stuff that I've, you know, some of the stuff I've done, like, they know me before they even talk to me.
That's how I felt.
Because we met at a virtual event on GamerJive. It's like, yeah, man, like, we've already talked, you know, like, they already know more about me. It's like, they're reeling off some things. Like, yeah, but it's because you can. Like, and first time I jumped on Twitch in 2015, and there was, I know Twitch was, you know, Justin TV back in the day, 2010 and all that. And this has been a long time. But even back in 2015, like, I understood that. Like, it's, man, I can really know who that person is. Mm-hmm. You spend that, especially, I mean, you talk to a streamer that's there like 8 hours. Huh. A day, every day, and someone that streamed, you know, for like 40 hours a week, like, yeah, that's, you're building that relationship with that other person. You know, mm-hmm, what I'm saying? So I guess tying it all together, everybody knows how passionate I am about just how content, how powerful it is. Mm-hmm. But it's something that once you grasp it, like, you just get it. And it's one of the, and then the biggest thing, again, not to take too much time, but, you know, putting yourself out there. Mm-hmm. And literally saying, like, making a 38-second video and saying, I'm trying to build relationships. This is what I want to do. This isn't what I'm, maybe it's not what I'm currently doing, but this is what I would love to do. Mm-hmm. Right. And you put that message out there. And yeah, you know what? 999 people might say, who cares about what they just said? But one might. Mm-hmm. So one might send you a message. And then that's when that first conversation starts.
100%. And that's what I hear it all the time, mm-hmm, with, you know, individuals trying to break into the, in this space. People that are trying to break in that don't really know what channels to use, don't really know what to put on their resume, don't really know what to put on their portfolio, don't really know what content to start creating. Mm-hmm. And I always tell them, like, you know, I might be the a great person to talk to you about this. I might be able to point you in the right direction. And I might not be, and I'll have a conversation with you. We'll discuss it. But at the end of the day, it's them trying to break into esports or trying to break into gaming, and then reaching out to me and asking is great. And I'm always like, hey, you're already one step ahead of the next person that didn't reach out to me. So thanks for reaching out. I can offer some assistance here or there. If I can't, then sorry, but at least you're going to the right channels and you're reaching out to people and in the space already and offering them just, hey, I'm trying to break into it. I have people, you know, it's probably 10 a week that will ping me on LinkedIn and ask, you know, how do I get into gaming? And I'm like, well, your whole background is based on engineering. So you have some type of, you know, technical mind there. Why don't you take one course in this and work in the game engine for a year? And I'm sure that you'll find something that's entry level. You might have to take a step back, but at the end of the day, you're breaking into the industry that you want to get into. And I think that's the best route for a lot of people. But yeah, I think we just had a networking question pop in.
Sure. Is Jeff, I think Jeff jumped on, looks like. So we have the ability to capture endless content. More people need to capture their lives if their lives are worth capturing. I grabbed the wrong question. Sorry about that, guys. I mean, I don't really see it. Sorry about that.
So I got one for networking on Discord, Reddit, Twitter, ArtStation. So those are the typical, I don't know, those are typical gaming. I don't know if you know those, Chris, but
yeah,
you know, obviously Discord's huge, you know, Reddit's huge, Twitter, ArtStation, LinkedIn, huge. Those are the platforms I think that everyone uses to network, everyone uses to kind of share their portfolio, share their work, share their content. Ones that I can recommend that I think that everyone really needs to be on is LinkedIn. I know that you spoke about that 7 years ago. I think it still rings true to this day. It's still growing. It's still a platform that you can get a lot of
hours. Sorry. The looks in that room was hilarious, man. Because it skewed a little older, I guess we could say. And then it was just, they were just like, looking at me like, no, we're good.
You know, LinkedIn's anyway, not gonna
sorry.
Happen.
It was just funny.
Well, now, but now we see that as, I mean, you know, we see that with Twitch. You know, fast forward from when you started in 2015 till now, 5 years later, how much has that platform grown? Mm-hmm. How much is that platform really offering, you know, individuals the chance to learn and not just, you know, stream video games, but I'm saying learn. Like, people on Twitch are teaching individuals design principles, teaching individuals how to engineer and how to write, you know, script. And it's awesome to see. It's becoming more and more of an educational platform, I think, and people are offering assistance. And I know there's other ones out there, like Behance is a good one, and GitHub is great for engineers. But, you know, I think Twitch is a great one when you're going on there and you're looking for something to break into gaming and esports in general. There's a lot of people out there that are publishing and producing content that you can learn from, and it doesn't cost you a dime. You know, unless you want to subscribe, and you can subscribe to it and you can start, you know, send in some donations, but at the end of the day, you can still view that content and learn something new, which I think is great for the community.
Yeah. I mean, you can even start, I mean, these are just like kind of random ideas, but you can start a Discord and start a networking group in there with other developers, mm-hmm. right? Because you bring everyone together. It's like a brain trust, right? And then because you have more people with ears in the market. Like, if there's an opportunity, things like that, and you share with each other, I mean, it's like anything else. I mean, really, in the end, right, LinkedIn is just an online network of yep. 650 million. But you can make your own and build that from the ground up if you'd want to do that. A lot of different, you know, a lot of different ways. Like you said, like a GitHub. Yeah, that's something definitely to get on as well. Jeff was saying, how it changes across different businesses. Hosting thousands of guests, we have the ability to capture endless content. So it's, I always go back to, you know, at the very beginning, we talked about intentionality, what you're trying to get out of it. And in the end, if you are providing that 80-20, 90-10 split, then those opportunities come to you, because the market, here's like the market always wins. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's, I think you, so one of the questions you asked was, well, a lot of people ask, what content do I put out? You put out content to learn about what to put out. There's like, it's like this cycle. It's really interesting because it's like, well, I don't know what to post, so I'm not going to post. Well, you post so that you know what to post.
Yeah.
Because it's you're testing.
Was your first podcast the same as the next five? Probably not.
The very first one, for those that may have known, is my brother. So okay. Smash player, and then Melee scene knows who he is for sure. I mean, you know, but maybe outside the Melee scene, but Melee scene's super, super tight. So like once it came on, the Melee scene like knew what was going on. But it was very first podcast, talked about, you know, his life on Twitch from 2015 till now, being a Smash player, what that looked like, and stories. And again, when we come on Level Experience, it's about stories. Like ultimately, this is really what it's about. Like you've had a journey to get where you are right now, and everyone that's come on here has had a different story. In esports, gaming, startups, investing, everyone has a different story. And to me, it's all fascinating. And to me, they're all connected as well.
They are.
To me, they really are. Like somebody like, really sports is over here, and then, well, it's not really gaming, so that's over there, and then crypto's over here, and Bitcoin. Sorry, I think they're all connected. Mm-hmm. The technology coming together, the lines are getting more blurred. Anyway, I'm on a tangent. You guys know I do this sometimes, but all of it's come together, so we just try to bring on these stories because it could lead to opportunities. There's been people that have connected with other people in chat and gotten jobs. That's actually happened like on these streams. And that's what happens on streams. So when you put your, like, actually what's interesting, sorry to keep going here, but
go ahead.
Well, another interesting thing is putting yourself out there is actually putting a comment on someone else's post. Mm-hmm. You didn't have to, that's content. Mm-hmm. Some people think, oh, well, it's just a comment. That's content. If you put it, if you genuinely have a concept, an idea or something that you want, you can provide value from someone else's value. So someone posts value on LinkedIn, you can put a comment that actually adds more value, and people see that, and that can lead to so many conversations. Yeah. Right. So you don't, that's actually a good way to start, is to post on other people's posts. No, you know, number one, actually take 30 minutes a day and look at your feed and actually look, don't death scroll, but actually like look and take notes. And then secondly, then start commenting on the posts. Right. And then understanding cadence and things like that. Then it becomes, it's like an esport, it's a sport, it's practice, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Over and over, and you learn that skill set. So, but you have to put in, obviously, this is the coach of me as well. You have to put in the time or you're not going to get the results. It doesn't matter. So starting off with that, well, I don't want to post anything, right? I totally understand that, right? you can understand, like you can just take in the content, right? From your sector, as you mentioned earlier, from the particular sector that you're in, esports, gaming. Okay. Then make your feed to where that's what you're seeing, right? So that you're in the know about what's happening, what's going on in the market. And then you can make comments on those posts. And then that leads to relationships, right? So that then you just want to get the ball rolling. So sorry, a little long-winded, but.
No, you're good. You're hitting the nail on the head, man. You're in the nail on the head. That's how we get a lot of our referrals. That's how we get a lot of our business, is having people comment, you know, names and just sharing information as to who's looking and what's going on. If there is, you know, a studio that folds and there's a massive layoff that's going on, you know, obviously we're going to reach out to all those people and see how we can offer some assistance. But the ones, you know, the onesie twosies that are, you know, looking for change and they move from the East Coast to the West Coast, or they're just changing, their lives have changed, looking for work. It's them commenting on another person's page or the person's comment. And then we kind of find them and we trickle through and we make the connection. We help them out in a certain way, but it is, you're providing content when you're putting your name out there and you're putting your name on someone else's post.
And just to share another story, I saw someone, she was out of a job for 6 months, I believe, and she put her story. No pictures, no flashy video. It was literally, I think it was one or two long paragraphs, her story, what she's went through. And it had 12,000 likes and like 6,000 comments or whatever it was. Those numbers are probably off.
Yeah. But
you know what she did? She put herself out there. And I don't know if she's now gotten a position or whatnot, but I guarantee she's made at least one significant relationship because she put that story out there, right? So, and I just saw that. I think it was a post like from like early this week. So anyway, it's just something that came to my mind and that might inspire somebody.
And it goes back to building that network, that authentic network, man. If you got that authentic network and you're sharing it and that's 12,000 people that just shared it, hopefully those 12,000 or those 8,000 that are real, you know, built relationships that you've talked to them already, you know, you've had a face-to-face conversation or you know them or know of them and they know what they're doing. And it's those 12,000 that, you know, they're going to push you to find that one person that will then go hire you or go offer some assistance within the job search. So yeah, man, that's good. Good for her for putting her name out there and letting her know the full story, whether it be a negative story, you know, it's content that she's publishing out there and showing her side of what happened. And hopefully just, you know, asking for some help. It's okay to ask for some help, put it out there and say, hey, I'm, you know, struggling. I was let go. So was everyone else during COVID. It's all right. You know, there's people like us out there that are trying to help and offer some assistance within, you know, interview process, just market intelligence, cost of living, you know, whatever you need help with. It's just, you know, putting yourself out there and raising your hand to ask the question. Cause you know, no one's going to call on you within LinkedIn. It's really, you have to put yourself out there to get an answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Samuel jumped in the chat, said, this is great stuff. New grad here. Been struggling breaking in the job market. Sam, send me a message.
Yeah.
I'd love to talk to you. If I can help in any way possible, we can help in any way possible. Like, let me know, Sam, just send me a message. Hopefully you're still on here. I know that comment was from earlier. And one thing, going back to like the message, and we're going to wrap up here in a couple of minutes. But one other thing, right now more than ever, people are more willing to answer your messages. Mm-hmm. In this moment right now, the last 6 months, and even going into the next year, It in a certain way, it's brought people more together, like in the online space. And I mean, it sounds obvious, but people are more will be more responsive than they were a year ago, 2 years ago, just because of where we are, right? So don't be afraid of sending out a message, right? And whether we mentioned the post side of it, but also like direct messages and things like that. You know, work on what you're saying and things like that. Like, I'm not advocating spamming, and there's a huge issue with that going on. A number of platforms right now.
You got 45 more minutes, or?
A long time on that. There's been some really interesting stuff going on there. The inboxes are full with spam these days. So there's a bad side of it, like kind of what's going on right now. You know, don't be on that side of it, right? You know, again, always ask yourself 90-10. Or like write it on the wall, like 90-10. Like, we all have to like ask ourselves sometimes, because, you know, I think inherently we're human beings. Inherently human beings are selfish. Mm-hmm. So that 90-10 goes 80-20, 70-30, 50-50, you know, right? That's just in nature. So I guess it's one of those reminders to just kind of think about. So when you're spamming inboxes, where does that land? That's not landing on any giving. So it's just something to think about.
Yeah. And no one wants to see that. No one wants to waste that time and just click exit out the whole time. But yeah, I think with you speaking to the people answering your message right now, I think there's just a level of empathy right now just going on in the world. And everyone's feeling it. You know, it's not just one section of one market. It's not, you know, just us. It's worldwide. It's global. You know, everyone's feeling it. So everyone's a little bit more empathetic to their messages. And even if it's, you know, a terrible message, I've had some people that message me back and just, you know, offer some assistance, offer some insight, like, hey, you know, not me, but somebody else might, you know, need you, or someone else might be able to help you out. But yeah.
Yeah. And on that, just that point, you know, the person you're messaging may not help you directly, but they may know someone. Always keep that in mind, right? So you're only one message away from the actual person you need to talk to. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's always really important to kind of understand and not get discouraged.
Yeah.
So I guess kind of wrapping it up here, as far as like some other like networking opportunities or other ways to connect with people, like some online events, was there anything you kind of wanted to add there? What are some tips you want to give people?
Yeah. So, you know, if you don't already follow GG Locators, I know everyone follows Level Up. If you're on here, if you do know GG Locators, go ahead and click follow on our LinkedIn, you know, follow our social channels. We do networking events all the time, and we offer, you know, resume prep, we offer interview prep. We do pretty much for any level of candidate, you know, and then any events in the future that we're posting on there, we do a lot of just speaking events. I know that we connected on a gamer job event, but we work heavily with the ARVR Foundation and Association, and have a couple different smaller, you know, communities out there and smaller, you know, startups that we're working with and we're trying to, you know, just partner with. So if you guys want to go ahead and follow us, you know, I'd greatly appreciate it. If you guys want to shoot me a direct message, you know, shoot me a connection on LinkedIn, go for it. You know, I'll be very responsive. And if you need any help with anything, please feel free to reach out. You know, I'm always here to offer assistance and help people find a new job and find a passion within gaming.
Yeah. So if you're tuning in just now, jumping on the last couple of minutes, this will be a podcast as usual. So make sure to check it out on Apple or on Google Podcasts and wherever you catch your podcast, Stitcher, all that good stuff. So this will be replayed. This will be a VOD on LinkedIn and on YouTube as well, on GG Locators and on Level Up Experience YouTube. So if you want to go back and take a look at it, all the comments should be on there through the live chat as well. And we'll also put some links in the show notes and on YouTube description, just some things to look at and get connected to. So thank you guys for jumping on and chat. I really appreciate it. Jeff and Sam, Sam really reached out to me for real. Yeah, send me a message for sure. Appreciate you jumping on. Sam and Carrie and Tyler, thank you guys very much. Jacqueline earlier, thank you all for being here. Thanks for the comments and questions. Always makes it great. So Chase, man, thanks for jumping on. It's been a long time. I know we met, you know, like probably wasn't going like 3 or 4 months ago at one of the Gamer Job events, but
yeah.
So
it's awesome, man. Appreciate the experience, man. It's awesome. Keep you doing your thing.
Yeah. Appreciate it, man. And we'll see you all in the next one.